Good morning, Cascadia. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Yesterday in Salem, the Oregon Board of Forestry decided that the Clatsop and Tillamook forests are worth more as lumber than as the lungs of the earth.
We'll hear from one of the people putting this year's village building convergence together.
And in New York, a judge hearing the case brought by activists on behalf of Nigerian Ken Saro-Wiwa against the shale oil has been postponed. We'll have an update on that tomorrow from one of the people in New York involved in the trial.
Portland area weather today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, possibly some heavy rain. Mostly cloudy with a high near 79, and then tonight the same thing with temperatures around 57.
And first we go to local news from around Cascadia. Yesterday in Salem, decisions were made that will change forever the character of Oregon's forests, specifically the Clatsop and Tillamook forests. The plan to repurpose our trees as commodities to be sold in a depressed housing market is short-sighted at best and catastrophic at worst. With us today to talk about what this means for our environment is Bob Van Dyke with Wild Salmon Center. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Can you talk a little bit about this, I think, in my opinion, highly misguided decision yesterday and what it means for us?
Yeah, I sure can. It was a stupid decision. There's no doubt about it. The timber markets are at historic lows, 40-year lows, and the Department of Forestry decided to increase timber harvest out there. The reason they did is they're under political pressure by people in the legislature, and they've also got a strong majority of people with ties to the timber industry. Now, they've had a lot of people on the board with timber ties for a long time. But for 20 years, the board has followed a consensus method, which meant if you even had a couple people on it who were more sympathetic to conservation values, that helped shift the debate. And that's how we got the current plan that we're in. But recently, a new chair to the board came on, John Blackwell, who decided he was done with consensus. He made the decision to get rid of it. And now the board's got a clear majority for timber. So we're right back where we were in the 1980s before lawsuits forced more diverse members on the board. So yesterday, that new majority just ran over the objections, really, of one. There's only one member who really stood up for the environment on the board. That member was asking for a scientific review before going forward, and other members just blithely dismissed it. And made this decision. So, yeah, it's a bad decision. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's throwing more logs in a glutted log market right now. That's not a good decision for the state economically or environmentally.
And how durable is this decision? Will it be subject to challenges?
I think it will be subject. There are people who aren't happy with it. There are, you know, these bureaucratic agencies are like giant super tankers. They move pretty slowly sometimes. The problem is that when they are moving, they have momentum. So now the momentum's been nudged in a bad direction. So there may be lawsuits against it. There will be a rulemaking process. And, you know, we may have a new governor in 2010. Former Governor Kitzhaber sent a letter to the board that put forward some points that directly contradicted the kind of decision they made. So if we got someone like him back in 2010, I'm pretty confident we could nudge things in a new direction. So as all your viewers know, you know, all those pieces matter. There's the elections, there's getting out to the meetings and going to hearings and making your voice heard however you can.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Bob Van Dyke with the Wild Salmon Center. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Bob.
And I just want to say, if people want to learn more, they should go to my website, thetillamook.net, thetillamook.net. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Legislation aimed at blocking the siting of resort developments in the Mentolius River area gained new life yesterday. By a 3-2 vote, the Senate Rules Committee agreed to insert language approving the Land Conservation and Development Commission's designation of the landscape as an area of critical state concern. The legislation would override decisions made by local county officials, and it effectively blocks the development of two planned destination resorts in Central Oregon.
Well, that's on a brighter note. Anglers must release sturgeon caught in the Columbia River. Beginning Saturday, anglers must release all sturgeon caught on the main stem of the Columbia River and tributaries from Bonneville Dam to the Dalles. Oregon and Washington fisheries managers announced the closure of sturgeon retention today, saying that the 2009 white sturgeon harvest guideline for that stretch of the river was 700 fish, a number they predicted would be met Friday.
The Regional Water Providers Consortium has tips on conserving water but still giving your garden the moisture it needs. Home irrigation and automatic timing systems were meant to take the hassle out of watering your vegetable garden, or if you still have one, lawn. But the East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District reminds us that even a sophisticated irrigation system can be wasteful if it doesn't take into account weather conditions. And different plants have different watering needs according to how long they've been in the ground. Spot watering is the best course of action if you have the time.
And the water.
Yeah.
Which we're rapidly running out of, along with other resources, less air, I suppose, because we're going to cut down every last tree in the Tillamook and Clatsop forests now. Well, a biogas company wants a permit to produce energy from two banes to the environment, waste tires and cow manure. It's a marriage made in heaven. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality will host an informational meeting on Tuesday, June 9th, in Boardman to discuss the waste tire storage permit application of Northwest Biogas, which wants to use 40,000 waste tires as a growing media for microorganisms in an anaerobic digester.
Gun dealers say shoot straight because ammunition is getting harder to come by. Fear of restrictions on guns and bullets, swept in with the election of Barack Obama, has triggered a buying frenzy not only in the rural towns of eastern Oregon, but also across the state and the nation. Dealers say gun purchases have leveled off, but ammunition sales show no sign of letting up. That's led to hoarding, empty store shelves, huge back orders, and renewed interest in home-loaded ammunition. Manufacturers can't produce bullets fast enough to meet the demand.
Almost like we're at war. Wait, we are. I forgot. The 2009 Village Building Convergence starts tomorrow. If you already know about the VBC, then you are among the many who are excited about this year's event. If you're unfamiliar with the Convergence, then this is a perfect time to get involved. Our ingenuity, skills, and needs all come together to create sustainable communities. As Larry Santoyo says, it isn't about your footprint, it's about your handprint. My guest today is placemaking coordinator for the Village Building Convergence, Michael Cook. Good morning, Michael.
Howdy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So, tomorrow it begins. Talk a little bit about the Village Building Convergence and some of the events that you're involved with and excited about.
Yeah, it's starting tomorrow. It's a 10-day event from June 5th to June 14th. And it's really where we're taking citizens and natural builders and permaculturalists and artists and activists all over the Portland community and really engaging them with neighborhoods and organizations and schools to build desperately needed public spaces and to transform where they live and really kind of manifest the collective vision that they have. And this is kind of all in the name of self-discovery and social remediation. And I think the most importantly, to develop a fertile bed of like creativity and intelligence where I think real solutions to the problems we're facing are going to be found, you know, at a really fundamental ground level of society.
And you're the placemaking coordinator. What exactly do you do? What is that? What is your role involve?
I get to work with all the kids and the parents and the families that are taking part in all these community projects. It's really great. Giving presentations and inspiring people and laughing at ideas and coming up with like really even more crazy ideas, brainstorming and collaborating. It's hard to call it work.
Where, and just let listeners know, some people who haven't participated in the past, let people know where they can go to start to, where does it all begin?
So first of all, we've got a great website, cityrepair.org/VBC, and there'll be plenty of information there. The evening venue where we'll be having celebration and food and music and renowned presenters performing is at 1847 Southeast East Clinton. That's near the New Day School. So that'll be our evening venue where everyone will be gathering at night. And then they'll be going out during the day to work on projects like a Cobb Cat Palace or an outdoor school classroom or a community composting station and about four intersection repairs over the city.
And there's going to be some really exciting speakers on hand, too. Larry Santoyo, for one. Toby Hemingway, who's written the second edition of his book, Gaia's Garden, is just out. It's a terrific book. And there's a lot in it, particularly for Northwest gardeners.
Yeah.
And other great speakers. There's going to be people from Burning Man and...
Right, Tim Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
And Brenda Bell from the Tryon Life Community Farm. We're going to have, Starhawk is going to be speaking Tuesday night. And then we're at amazing musical performances like Jujuba and Alpaca and just so many amazing people throughout the entire week. And it's $15 from Tuesday to Thursdays and $20 for Fridays and Saturdays. And that's like a music performance, a presentation, and a dinner all in one.
And the effects last all year. My guest has been Michael Cook, placemaking coordinator for the 2009 Village Building Convergence. Thanks so much for that, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Yesterday, a federal judge tossed out more than three dozen lawsuits filed against the telecom companies for taking part in the government's email and telephone eavesdropping program that was done without court approval. U.S. District Court Judge Vaughn Walker also ordered officials in Maine, New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, and Missouri to halt their investigations of the telecoms for their participation in the once-secret surveillance program. And Walker deferred a decision on whether to sanction the government for refusing to turn over a top-secret document in one of the few wiretapping cases still pending. Lawyers representing the customers say they will appeal the judge's ruling.
Yeah, how did that happen? Right under everyone's noses. And let's see, in Washington, we've got some news. World Citizens for Peace has ended its tri-city protests against war in Iraq after more than 6 years. The group said that now, with the departure of the administration that launched the war and a new president and Congress struggling with the daunting task of how to end the war and patch up the pieces, that our country is on a different course and our perspective has changed. The group started daily protests in late September 2002 and later shifting to a weekly schedule and then twice a month in 2008.
The pretrial conference scheduled for today in New York in the lead-up to the landmark human rights lawsuit, Wewo versus Shell, has been canceled, and the trial remains adjourned until further notice. After more than 13 years, multinational oil giant Royal Dutch Shell finally must answer charges that it conspired with the Nigerian military to bring about the execution of Nigerian human rights and environmental leader Ken Saro-Wiwa and eight of his colleagues. Shell also faces charges for arming, financing, and transporting the Nigerian military, which conducted raids on villages that resulted in beatings, torture, shootings, and killings of innocent people in the Ogoni region of the Niger Delta. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll have someone from New York involved in the trial.
And in Beijing today, police swarmed into Tiananmen Square to prevent any commemoration of the massacre of students that took place there 20 years ago today. Visitors to the sprawling plaza in central Beijing were stopped at checkpoints and searched, and foreign television crews and photographers firmly turned away. Uniformed and plainclothes officers, easily identified by their similar shirts, seemingly outnumbered tourists. There is no flicker of protest.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, June 4th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is the redoubtable Emily Myung. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. U of O Professor Anita Weiss on the breaking crisis in Pakistan and Professor Mahmoud Madani, author of Saviors and Survivors, Darfur, Politics, and the War on Terror.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.